One of the toughest challenges today is finding a solid church, a place committed to the truth, a place that proclaims Christ from all the scriptures, worships God with reverence, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship God with us on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school every Sunday for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website, christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Why should Christians pray? If God knows all things, if God determines all things, if God is sovereign over everything that he has made, why does he want Christians calling out to him in prayer? Dear Christian, how important is prayer in your life? We're going to look at the great issue today of the spiritual discipline of prayer in the Christian life to help you understand more its benefit and blessing in your walk with Christ. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we direct you to the website at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. All of your notes are an encouragement to us. Thanks again for all of your support for Abounding Grace Radio. Well, today we have Pastor Mike Brown with us as we are now moving into the final section in our study, this somewhat long study of the Heidelberg Catechism, where we get a whole sort of systematic treatment of the Christian doctrines and Christian life. And we're in this third section here, looking at the gratitude section. And Mike, we've now completed our study of the law of God set in the gratitude section. Since we're not under it for condemnation, we are free in Christ. Now we want to honor that law as a rule of gratitude to bring glory to the Lord. We've studied those Ten Commandments now. But now we come to the close of the catechism, and isn't it appropriate that we have a beautiful treatment of prayer, specifically the Lord's Prayer, as he taught his own disciples to pray?
Absolutely. This is the great model that our Lord gives us on how to pray. It's surprisingly, in some ways, surprisingly brief, but it's deep and profound and helps us as a guide on how to direct our praise and our petitions to our Father in heaven.
Right. And so as we open up Lord's Day 45, you'll see a section there if you have the Heidelberg. And if you don't have this, again, we send these out to anyone who writes in and asks for a copy. It's free of charge. We'll send it to you as a gift. And so do please write to us through aboundinggrace@agradio.org. We'd be glad and happy to send you one. But in this last section on prayer, Lord's Day 45, question 116 asks a very practical and important question. Why do Christians need to pray? Maybe it seems too obvious for some, but I've heard a lot of different things in regard to this, Mike, in the ministry. I've heard people tell me at times, well, we really don't need to pray because God is sovereign. So why would we pray? We've got a whole series of motivations here for prayer. And right at the beginning here, it says, and this is just everything we've been studying here in the Heidelberg in the gratitude section, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires for us. It would be a strange relationship with God if we never talked to him. He's
right.
Done a lot for us, right? He has he's given his son. He's forgiven us freely by grace. He saved us. And it's now natural to that relationship, since we are adopted sons by grace, adopted into the family of God, our spirits bearing witness, right? The spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're sons and we can cry out, Abba, Father. This is a way in childlike trust and in love for him in that relationship where he's turned his face a blessing to us, invites us to come to the throne of grace for us to say, thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us.
That's right. Yeah. Every relationship needs good communication. If you don't communicate in relationship, the relationship breaks down. We know that as husbands and wives, parents and children, friends, neighbors, everything. And so the same is true with regard to God. God our Father has adopted us, as you said, in Christ his Son. And so now he communicates to us by word and sacrament. Very important that we understand that. His speech to us from heaven to earth, from God to man, is word and sacrament. Our speech to him is prayer. Prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness. I'm always convicted by this catechism question because it shows really the level of my prayer is really the level of my thankfulness. It's one of the main parts of good works in our lives is our crying out to God and our prayer to him. But prayer is not the same thing as word and sacrament. Both are necessary. You need to hear God's word. You need to receive his sacraments, his visible word. But we also need to pray. But they don't do the same thing. We would call the primary means of grace God's word and sacraments to us that we receive on the Lord's Day. And then maybe a secondary means of grace or means of discipleship is our praying to the Lord. There is something that happens to us in prayer, which we can talk about, but it's chiefly our directed Godward from us to God.
I think it's important, you know, to say, think of the benefit of this too. This is, there is a way made available to us to come into the most holy place, to have this communion, but to speak to our King. And it's a wonderful blessing. No one in the world gets to walk on into, let's just say, the White House and talk to the King anytime they want. And the Lord, the one who has made everything, the one who is our Heavenly Father and upholds everything in our lives and his kind providence to us, invites us to come and talk to him. And so we have to first view this as a wonderful privilege by grace that he's given to us in Christ to be able to come and to talk and to realize he's hearing us as the King of heaven and earth who has every resource at his disposal. And this is what the Heidelberg focuses on next, to help us. And I love that emphasis. Notice here it says, we should pray because God gives us his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. In the life of our sanctification, it is just the fact that oftentimes we go through many hardships and trials and we're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to lean on our own wisdom. This is Proverbs 3, right? Trust not in your own wisdom, lean not in your own might. Put your trust in the Lord. He'll direct your paths and all your ways acknowledge him. And the Heidelberg rightly is making the point here, Mike, that when we come to the throne of grace, the Lord is more than willing to help us. He's going to help us in the things that we need. He's going to help us in this spiritual battle and struggle with all the hardship that goes on. And he's going to give us his Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing. And it's sad. It's true how much we often forfeit because we do not come to the Lord in prayer.
Right. Well, it's important. Yeah, it is very important for us to recognize God's generosity and his love toward us when we come to him. And that doesn't make him a genie in a bottle. When we pray, we're not rubbing the genie's lamp saying, give me my wish. We're bowing before the King, as you put it. We're bowing before the sovereign cosmic ruler of the universe, but who is also our Father. As Jesus said, he told us to come to ask, to seek, to knock, come as a child would to his Father, because prayer is our communication to the Father. That's how we come. And I love to listen to my kids when I come home and my son tells me about what he built with his Legos or what he did on Minecraft or, you know, and let's go play some baseball. I love to hear my son's voice, talk to me. And so the same is with regard to our Creator and our Father in heaven. And he's more than willing to give us these things that we need. And then we're directed, aren't we, in Scripture, on going to the Father and asking him for these very things, asking for the grace of his Holy Spirit. Our prayers are directed to the Father through the mediation of the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and asking the Father for the grace of the Holy Spirit. And one of my favorite passages in all of Holy Scripture that says just that is in Philippians chapter 4, where you have Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then there's this great promise that comes with it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In prayer, we're not bending God's will to us. Our wills are actually being bent toward Him.
Right.
But there's this sense of relief that I have voiced my concerns and my requests and my needs to my Father in heaven. May His will be done. And God and heaven has heard me. I can rise from my knees, as it were, in peace, knowing that the sovereign creator of the universe is at hand, and He will deal with the situation as He sees best.
Right. And you know, prayer, that's a very helpful point. And prayer, we should also be reminded too, is a spiritual discipline. I'm sure that many Christians, if you ask them, well, what's your prayer life like? I don't know too many who ever come to me as a pastor and say, man, I'm just a prayer warrior. I think sometimes we have this perception out there. They're the real prayer warriors. They're out there really leading on the battlefield praying. Listen, prayer is for every Christian. And prayer is something that's important for every Christian, but it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. It is a discipline. And we have to know how properly to frame our prayers so that we have confidence in coming to Him. This is important because the Heidelberg here goes on in question 117. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? Mike already referenced not to use God as a genie. Oftentimes, prayer warriors, as we understand them, are using God as a giant genie. You go through the Psalms, Mike. One of the things that impresses me about the Psalms, which are prayers, heartfelt, sincere prayers out of the heart of God's people in the past, is how saturated they are with a proper knowledge of God. And that's the first thing it says here. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word. Praise begins with, and this is how you know, you look at the Psalms, they're singing out in praise, but they're relishing in who God is as He's revealed Himself. They're rehearsing His attributes. They're taking delight in Him and His glory, in all His great power and justice and mercy and kindness and love and grace, all these attributes that we see in the Scriptures. This is what is first taken the psalmist in prayer. And if we're going to come to the Lord in a way that pleases Him, we first have to take delight in Him.
That's right. And that's why Jesus taught us when we begin to pray, we don't say, "Our Father in heaven, give me this day my daily bread." Right. Although there is a place for those prayers of desperation, mm-hmm. you know, of just sort of shooting an arrow really quick up to heaven out of desperation. But there needs to be regularly in the life of the Christian, as you put it, the spiritual discipline, where we address our Father with reverence, where we address Him the way that the Bible addresses Him. As you're pointing out, Chris, I mean, if you read the prayers of the Psalms or read the prayers of the apostles in the book of Acts or in the epistles, you read the prayers of the prophets, there is always this sense of awe and reverence. And Jesus said that's how we should begin. Our Father in heaven, that means He is transcendent and He is beyond us. Hallowed be Your name. Our focus is on Him first before we come asking for the things that we need. May Your name be glorified. May You exalt Your name amongst Your people. May Your kingdom come because You rule over all. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, if we begin our prayers that way, then we are in the right frame of mind to bring our requests to Him. And I find in my own life mm-hmm. that often when I begin the way the Bible tells me to begin in my prayers, exalting Him, being mindful of His attributes, being mindful of His sovereignty, oftentimes by the time I get, and it may only be just a few seconds or minutes, by the time I get to my requests, they don't seem as pressing as they were before because right. I'm reminded of who God is.
Right. That's really helpful. I think maybe there's two errors here, Mike, we could discuss for a minute as we approach the Lord. Notice that Heidelberg's focusing on when we come, we're praying to the one true God as He's revealed Himself. So it has to be according to truth. There have been a couple different errors I've heard. I've heard a sort of loftiness that maybe in previous generations was a lot stronger, where it seemed that God was so distant no one could ever reach Him. But today we have so made God one of us. The prayers really just sound like we're talking to the guy in the room next to us. Hey, and what characterizes these prayers often? It's you guys and like, you know, like God, like, and like
just,
we just want to do this for you. We've lost a sense of transcendence in coming to the Holy One of Israel. And I think that's a helpful thing to remember when it says that we're praying according to how he's revealed himself in his word. Just read a psalm and look at how they are caught up in the glory of God and how they're speaking to him with reverence and with awe. That's so important. So that praise aspect, the first part of prayer, is so important. That it's according to his word.
Right. Yeah. And by reading the Psalms, I mean, the Psalms gives us that full range of human emotions. And so it takes into account the fact that the human in prayer, sometimes there will be periods of desperation in prayer, like the Psalms reflect, periods of even frustration with God. God, where are you? What's going on? We're not saying that you can't express emotions to the Lord, and there's all those different kinds of emotions expressed in the Psalms. But what should typically characterize our prayers is a sense of reverence and awe. We are addressing the King of the universe. There is no higher authority than God. He is our Father. And so we are to come like a child to a father, but with the deepest respect and a greatness of who he is.
Right. And I think that's important because as it emphasizes here in question 117, from the heart, sincerity is very important to the Lord. He doesn't like ostentatious show. He's warned us about vain repetitions in prayer where people simply say the same thing over and over, thinking that God will hear them for those kind of prayers. And we think of prayers that come out of Rome and elsewhere that are nothing but vain repetitions. The Lord is not. He wants this from the heart speaking to him. And one of the ways that demonstrates sincerity, which is another thing I think that we need to think a lot about today, Mike, is this that the Heidelberg emphasizes. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in his majestic presence. Sincerity will be accompanied with a heart that is open about the problems that it faces, open about the problem of sin, being willing to come to the Lord. And we see this all over the prayers in Scripture. I mean, think of the prayer that the Lord commends. This one of the shortest prayers in the Bible is the publican in the back beating his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That prayer Jesus heard and said, that man went down to his house justified. This is the kind of disposition, humble heart that the Lord wants, confessing our sins, humbling ourselves before him, and looking to him for help. Because if we don't recognize our sin, we really don't need him for much, do we?
Right. And that, again, is included in the prayer that our Lord gave us as a model, as a skeleton for all our prayers. It begins with his glory. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then brings these requests that have to do with him glorifying himself. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it moves to our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And it includes what you're talking about here from question 117, the confession of sins. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. I think it's important for Christians to have in their daily prayers a place for confession of sin.
Amen.
If we're not confessing our sin and being particular about it, being honest about it, as the Heidelberg saying, acknowledging our need and misery, hiding nothing. Sometimes we can be so presumptuous in our sins, or in our sins too, but in our prayers, we can be so presumptuous in our prayers that we're not confessing our sins. And we don't almost see a need to confess our sins because, well, Jesus took care of all that. And so, but there should always be the Holy Spirit working in our hearts in such a way that we go before the Lord and beg for his mercy and say, Lord, help me with these besetting sins that I know are an offense to you. I know the blood of Jesus covers them, but I want to feel some sense of victory over them, knowing that Jesus was victorious in my place. Lord, make me more like him.
This is where the sincerity of prayer is really tested, Mike, I believe. Because what is the thing that people do when they're sinning? They want to hide. They want to close the shades. They want to do things in the dark. Well, in prayer, we're acknowledging, Lord, you see everything.
He sees everything.
I can't hide my life before you. And think of it. You know, we would never want to go and tell the world the shameful things we've done in secret. And the Lord is inviting us in prayer that we hide nothing. We can tell him the shameful things that we have done. He sees it all. He knows it all. And confess that. And he's willing to receive us and forgive us.
That's right.
I mean, that's the blessing of this to the one to whom it really matters, right? And that's such an important part of prayer. I want to just read a portion of this, Mike, from the Italian reformer, one of Mike's favorite, Peter Martyr Vermilli. And this is just one of his prayers on Psalm 18. Just so you get a sense of this, dear listener, it's a short one. And you hear how these prayers bring such glory to the Lord. But this part of the Heidelberg here that emphasizes confession. We cannot help loving you keenly, O great and good God, because by faith you've given us, we clearly see that you alone are our refuge, foundation, and liberator. Our sins have often brought upon us deadly sorrows and mighty and violent enemies who, like rushing streams, surround us with tribulations, traps, and even death itself. But it is you, O God, who have complete control of all things and are acknowledged as having a throne in heaven. Therefore, in your mercy, which is infinite, look upon us. When you have forgiven our sins, bring it about that we be delivered from your wrath and from the extreme punishment which you are wont to visit upon the wicked. Grant that when we call upon you, our cry and prayers may not be poured forth in vain. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm just giving an example. Right. But notice how sincere, heartfelt, and trusting but honest he is about the problem and what we deserve. And turning to his Father, he has confidence that the Lord will hear.
Right. You know, that book that you're reading from there, Chris, is Peter Martyr Vermilli's Prayers Through the Psalms. Mm-hmm. And it's a very simple book. Unfortunately, it's a bit expensive, but picking up a book like that can be very helpful as devotional material in our own day, where we have become sometimes so shallow and anemic in our prayers, not just the amount of prayers, but also the prayers themselves. I mean, in a day and age where, sadly, we hear a lot of prayers that sound like, oh, Lord, filling up the prayer, and it becomes so superficial, talking to God like he's a buddy, it's helpful for us to go back to another time mm-hmm. and read prayers of someone like Vermilli or Calvin or Luther and see how these men had such a sense of awe before God. They knew so well the doctrine of justification by faith alone that all of their debt was canceled, and yet they still approached God with this humility, and there's no presumption in their prayers.
Right.
So that can really be a helpful thing to us, along right. with reading the prayers of Scripture, in becoming better at praying.
Right, and I think it's important to say, too, reading prayers of people in periods where there was persecution, too, and hardship, like these guys all came out of, you really do see that the benefit and how the Lord uses that to strengthen his people in those times. Listen to their prayers. Listen to how humble they are. Listen to how they're crying out to the Lord. Prayer was so important to them. And that leads us to the next thing the Heidelberg says here. How does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? So we've looked at from the heart. How he's revealed himself in his word, acknowledging our need and misery. The third, it says this, we must rest on this unshakable foundation that even though we don't deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. Mm. That's what he's promised us in his word. So the Lord wants us to come, this is beautiful, believing and trusting that he is for us and not against us. I do believe that's a big reason that people probably avoid the duty of prayer. I think they really struggle because of sin, whether God is really inviting them to come and that he will really receive their prayer. Well, dear Christian, if you have Christ, you have been given access.
Right.
There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The door is open. You are one of his children, and he wants you to know he hears your prayer. He desires to hear your prayer because of Christ. And that's an unshakable foundation for you. Be encouraged. Go to him, right?
Right. The life, death, and resurrection of Christ is the new and living way into the very holy of holies. That's what the Bible says. God hears your prayers not on the basis of how strong your faith is or how good your performance right. is morally. He hears your prayers because of the strength and the morality and the perfection of Jesus Christ. Right. He hears your prayers because he has adopted you in Christ. You could be the weakest sinner. Don't let your failures in the Christian life or your weakness of faith keep you from asking God for those things that you need, and for praising him and approaching him in prayer. Go to him. Go to him in reverence. Go to him in humility. Go to him confessing your sins. Go to him praising him. And go to him with your petitions and your requests. That's exactly what Jesus taught us to pray in the model prayer.
Right. And we should also say it's not even about the eloquence of your prayers.
Right.
It's not even about how great it sounds. The Lord wants the sincerity of heart and being honest and open before him, trusting in Christ. He'll receive that prayer. We don't have time to get into this today. It's the final question in Lord's Day 45, but we'll just comment on it briefly. I think we'll pick up here next time, Mike. But what did God command us to pray for? This is the final question, Lord's Day 45. Everything we need spiritually and physically as embraced in the prayer our Lord himself taught us. We're going to start unpacking for you the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord wants you to know you can come to him praying for what you need. Yes, need, not necessarily want, right? There's a distinction there. Sometimes what we want is sinful. Sometimes what we want is not according to God's word, but we have spiritual needs and physical needs, and the Lord wants to meet both of those. So we're going to pack that next time, Mike, in the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, we can ask for our wants, but just always bring with that, Lord, your will, not my will, right, be done, and give me the grace to accept your will.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We really enjoy bringing these radio broadcasts to you. We'd love to hear from you if they're a blessing to you. Write to us. Go to Abounding Grace Radio. AEGradio.org is the website. Call us at 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Thanks again to Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. We're always thankful to have him on the program. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.